Welcome to installment 180 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains three commandments. Positive commandment 57, to bring a Pesach Sheni, the second Passover sacrifice when necessary. And positive commandments 56 and 58, to consume the Pesach sacrifice, and also to consume the Pesach Sheni, the second Passover sacrifice, when it is relevant to bring one. Positive commandment number 57 deals with the laws of the Pesach Sheni, the second Passover sacrifice. This derives from the book of Numbers in chapter 9, where a group of Jews had missed the first Passover offering, which was brought on Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. These particular Jews were unable, because of their spiritual impurity or tuma, or because they were not in proximity to the place of the sacrifice, were unable to bring this Passover offering. And they came with a complaint to Moses, Lo menigara, why should we lose out? Since we were unable to bring the Passover offering in its proper time because of the circumstances beyond our control, why should we lose out on this tremendous mitzvah? Moses replied that, wait here, and I will hear what orders God will answer regarding your case. And God answered that they should bring a Pesach Sheni, a second sacrifice, in order to take the place of the first. As mentioned in verse 11 of this chapter, V'chedesh HaSheni barba asar yeim ben arbaim yasu esei. On the 14th day of the second month, meaning the month of Iyar, exactly 1 month after the regular Passover sacrifice, they should bring the Pesach Sheni, the second Passover offering. The Rambam asks that since we learned in our seventh principle of deriving the 613 commandments that individual details of a commandment do not count as a separate commandment, why then do we count this as a separate commandment? The Pesach Sheni is only brought if one did not bring the first Pesach sacrifice. Therefore, it would seem to be one detail of the regular Korban Pesach. Why do I count it separately? The Rambam answers this with a lengthy technical discussion from the Talmudic tractate Psachim. There, the Talmud brings different opinions of Tanoim from the generation of the Mishnah, whether Pesach Sheni is considered to be a separate holiday from Pesach Rishon, or whether it is only a continuation of the first Pesach offering. And the Rambam quotes the opinion of Rebbe for the halachic decision, that the Rebbe holds that it is considered an individual holiday. It is distinct from the first Passover offering. More particularly, there are three opinions regarding the Pesach Sheni. But the law is nevertheless like Rebbe. And since Rebbe holds that it is a separate holiday, and the law is like him, we must consider it to be a separate mitzvah, says the Rambam. And therefore it is counted separately and is not considered to be a detail of the Pesach Rishon. All the laws relating to the Pesach Sheni are explained in the tractate Psachim, including the law that women are exempt from the law of the Pesach Sheni. This law of Pesach Sheni, although it may seem to have limited application, since only certain Jews have to bring it, contains a wondrous lesson for all Jews in all circumstances. As the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, may rest in peace, said that Pesach Sheni contains the lesson, as Nitok Kien Farfalin, that there is never any situation which is hopeless. You can always correct a misdeed. That even somebody who is Tameh, who is impure, or Rochik, or is far away from the proper path, or even is Lachem, even has intentionally transgressed the laws of the Torah, even such a person can say, Lo menigara, why should I lose out? Why should my situation be hopeless? And the Torah answers him and says, no, mekan alamo farichten, you can always correct the situation, one can always return. That the Torah itself gives the procedure for a violator and a seemingly hopeless situation to return to the ways of the Torah and bring the Pesach Sheni, that one can never think of one's situation as hopeless. Positive commandment number 56 relates to the eating of the Pesach sacrifice. 56 relates to the eating of the regular Passover sacrifice, and 58 to the eating of the Pesach Sheni. The Rambam says that the law is that on the night of Passover, the 15th of the month of Sivan, one is required to eat from the Passover sacrifice, a keves, and it has to be done under certain conditions. It must be only roasted, and it must be eaten in one house with the people who are designated for that particular sacrifice, and it must be eaten together with matzah and maror, the bitter herbs. As it is stated in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 11, Al matzei sum reirin yechlu, that it should be eaten with matzah and with the bitter herbs. This commandment derives from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 8, which states, V'ochlu es habosar b'layla hazeh, tzli'esh u'matzeis al reirin yechlu, that it should be eaten on this night, broiled with matzah and the bitter herbs. Why is this commandment, again, counted as one individual commandment with many details? We might think that since there are three things mentioned in the verse, each one is a separate commandment. One to eat the meat of the Passover sacrifice, one to eat matzah, and one to eat the bitter herbs, the morer. The Rambam says that it is true that matzah is considered to be a separate biblical commandment, as he mentioned in positive commandment number 158. Maror, however, is only a rabbinic commandment, as the Talmud mentions, therefore proving his point that it is only subservient to the general law of the eating of the Passover sacrifice. The Rambam brings another proof of this, that it is not considered to be a separate commandment from the law that the meat of the sacrifice may be eaten even without the matzah and maror, showing that it itself is the mitzvah. However, if one has only maror and not the meat of the Passover sacrifice, there is no biblical requirement to eat the bitter herbs. Of course, today, even though we have no Passover sacrifice, it is a mitzvah to eat from the bitter herbs by rabbinic decree. But that does not give the bitter herbs the status of a separate biblical commandment. The Rambam quotes this from the Mechilta, which states that since the verse quotes that this shows us, as we quoted before, that the matzah and the bitter herbs are subservient, are secondary to the meat of the Passover offering, and that would be eaten by itself, which is not the case with the bitter herbs. They are not eaten by themselves. The Mechilta further points out another law regarding the meat of the Pesach sacrifice, that only it must be eaten when one is full. Al seva. The matzah and maror can be eaten even when one is hungry. However, one must fill up before, either he must fill up completely on the meat of the Passover sacrifice, or he must be full when it comes time to consume the sacrifice, by eating meat of the chagiga, or by other means. All of the details of this law are discussed in tractate Pesachim, as well as Commandment 58 relating to the consumption of the Pesach Sheni, which incidentally is not applied to women, as we mentioned regarding the general law of Pesach Sheni, that women are exempt. But all of the laws of consumption of the meat of the Pesach Sheni are equivalent in general to the laws of consumption of the Pesach Rishon. One is allowed, however, in Pesach Sheni to have chametz in the house, that even though leavening may not be eaten, or leavened bread may not be eaten during Passover, but Pesach Sheni, a month after Passover, it is already allowed, and one can eat the Pesach Sheni even though there is chametz around. From this law that one may eat the Pesach, one must eat the Pesach Sheni when one is full, we learn out an important lesson to our general laws of eating, and a very important general principle. Our eating during the week, when it is not a holiday, is in itself not a mitzvah. As we have discussed on other occasions, our eating is proper only if we're eating l'shem shamayim, for the purposes of heaven, in order to elevate the food to its spiritual source. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, the eating is itself a mitzvah. That even though we have our own physical desires in consumption of the food, nevertheless, the consumption is itself a mitzvah. The Pesach Sheni, the Pesach offering, both Pesach and Pesach Sheni, which is eaten only when one is full, stresses this point, that the eating itself becomes not a physical act, but a purely spiritual act. How can it be a purely spiritual act if one is consuming roasted meat, which is extremely tasty? The answer is that this sacrifice is eaten only when one is full, when one is satisfied. There is no longer any physical desire connected with this food, since one is not hungry. One is eating the food only to fulfill the commandments of God, and his eating itself becomes a spiritual eating, even though he is eating physical meat, and he's eating it the same way he would eat when he is hungry. Nevertheless, he's not doing it out of his own desire. He is utilizing the physical world, in other words, only for a spiritual purpose. There is no mixing of his own physical desire whatsoever in this eating. And so too, we must approximate in our daily eating, and certainly in our Shabbos and Yom Tov eating, that it should be a spiritual eating. That man is separated from the animals, not by the fact that he consumes food, but that he can use his intellect to direct his eating with the proper intention and utilize it for the proper purposes. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.